Damn, Jeffrey Toobin. At least Pee Wee Herman was in an X-rated movie theater. I'm just saying.
He shit on Pee Wee too. He took two shots.
All his videos, by the way, if you watch the rest of the videos, he goes, "Hey, Twitter world, it's yours truly." Every single time. It's yours truly. Like, it's so weird to have a murderer be like, "Hey, it's yours truly." He basically cut a dude's head off.
He did.
And then he's like, "Hey, Twitter world."
There's a and people say like, "Ah,
it's yours truly."
100%. Cheers.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless. When Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month, when you purchase a three-month plan, more like, wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. We use Mint Mobile at the office, and we have been saving so much money since switching over, and setting up on Mint Mobile's website was super easy. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Oh, well, thanks for being here. Appreciate it. Bert died. So
100%. Thanks for having me. 100%, bro.
100%. Excited to be here.
100%.
Thanks for coming, though, man.
Yeah,
appreciate
man.
It
Thank
very
you
much.
Having.
How's this phase of quarantine pandemic affecting you?
This phase is really, I know we had dinner recently. This phase, it shifted. Homeschooling really fucking
that
put
changed
me in the toilet.
Everything.
It changed everything. Yeah. I'm so far behind on life. I'm so far behind on priorities. I have a kindergartner who is learning how to read. So she's not, you know, they say, well, get this book or that book or get this folder and turn to this page. And you got to, and that's what the teacher says before the start of every class. Please be sure you have an adult there to help you if you need it, and please keep your clothes on for the full session.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those kids taking their fucking clothes off.
Of course. Like Jeffrey Toobin, CNN.
Come on, man.
He pulled his dick out and was jacking off with people from the New Yorker.
Doing like a rehearsal for the... Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, click, click, and they're like, mm-hmm, and he's like, points, and he's like, jacking his dick. And then they're like, Jeff, and he's just like, ah. And then he goes,
like, what, is that my lie?
He's like, I'd like to apologize to my family and my colleagues. So he was doing...
Let me see if I have this right, though. Here's a laptop here or whatever. We're on this call over here. Mm-hmm. But he says he thinks he thought he had muted the video, he said, or at least turned it, disabled the video. So then he's got another device over here that he's jerking it to. Is that... That's about right, isn't it?
You know,
it?
Can we pull up some more information on this?
It would have
because
to be
I'm a
two
little,
devices.
I thought the story... I first read was that he thought he had switched, like he got another call on the same laptop or something. Is that not what is happening? You got to hit news. So I wonder if he, I'm sure Fox did him dirty. Let's hit that story.
Yeah.
let's see here. So scroll down. Oh, he'd be thrilled to talk about it. Make that bigger for a second. Like the, no, not that. The copy. And scroll down. So let's see. The New Yorker's in. Let's see. Was it illegally caught met during a Zoom in front of several colleagues? Scroll down. Just want to see.
This guy
two people were on the call to advise separately that the call was an election simulation featuring many of the biggest stars. Mayer has been colleagues with Toobin.
Look, in his defense, might be what he gets off on, you know? Election simulations.
Scroll down.
Look at this.
Does it have his explanation? All right, find the explanation. So, did you see OJ tweet about it?
I heard. Yeah. I didn't see it. I heard he was like, get your shit together.
You know OJ, or Toobin wrote that book, right?
Oh, okay.
So he covered that trial like in depth, and then he wrote the book that the series was then based on.
Mm-hmm.
When like the FX series about the trial and about that whole story. He was like the leading expert, and OJ, he was like, "Ooh, Tubin, is that what you did?" Like it's hilarious on his Twitter feed.
There's a guy out there that killed two people. Yeah. And is clowning you on social. How many times do you think he stopped writing that book to jerk off? This guy's got a problem.
I mean, he's doing it in the middle of
something.
A meeting.
Yeah,
like we're doing an election. He was like, I just got to get this out real quick. But yeah, maybe you know, maybe that's just what he gets off on. I've had midday jerks.
Yeah,
you know that you just go like,
you just have to get it out. You're like, you know what, this has to happen.
Yeah, if you're done it on a phone call, like while you're talking to somebody.
Not if it wasn't sexually related. That's my whole point. You have?
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
How could you even concentrate on either of those things?
Well, I just got bored.
Wait, you're on like a call with like the credit card. You're disputing charges.
Yeah. Yeah.
You disputing some charges and jerk it off.
Yeah, but I'm on the phone. I'm not on a video.
Yeah, you're not a piece of shit.
Do you have the explanation?
No, I'm looking for what he responded to.
What's that? Okay.
That says, why are men so compelled to defend it on a Zoom?
Okay, what does it say here? He said it was an accident. Those are good ones. Those are good accidents. Has asked for some time off while he deals with a personal issue. Yeah. Ordinarily, he'd be covering Supreme Court confirmation, of course. So I made an embarrassing, stupid mistake believing I was off camera. I believe that was not visible on Zoom. I thought no one on the Zoom call could see me. I thought I was muted. So it must be a different device. I think you're right. Go to OJ Simpson's Twitter account.
He's got like a Best Buy wall in front of him.
He's just got like all the different
porn everywhere. And he had a Trump book coming out, it said.
There he did?
That's what it said.
It's all getting shut down. Is that the one right there? Yeah, that is. Yeah, yeah. Here, put your headphones on. You got it. Put that at the beginning. Here we go.
Damn, Jeffrey Toobin. At least Pee Wee Herman was in an X-rated movie theater. I'm just saying.
He shit on Pee Wee too. He took two shots.
All his videos, by the way, if you watch the rest of the videos, he goes, hey, Twitter world, it's yours truly. Every single time. It's yours truly. Like, it's so weird to have a murderer be like, hey, it's yours truly.
A guy that committed double homicide is out there.
He basically cut a dude's head off.
He did.
Yeah.
When I watched that show, I had no idea. You know what always, maybe I'm an idiot, but I always assumed he showed up with that knife. Uh-huh. It never dawned on me that she was coming out to defend herself with that knife, and then he took that knife from her and used it against her.
Yeah, no, I
know. Never dawned. I just thought because he's a killer, he had it. You know,
right?
I mean, killers usually show up with their weapons,
and I guess not.
Maybe not.
How strong must he have been? Like
what? I mean,
that is some other levels.
That like, is, yeah,
because he butchered her, but you know. That
they said
Ron
he almost
Goldman,
decapitated him.
They almost decapitated him. And that guy was, I don't know, what, like 28 or something, right?
Yeah.
He's a young man. And this dude just fucking ripped him to pieces. And then he's like, hey, Twitter world.
There's and people say, like,
it's yours truly.
Yours truly.
And he talks about, like, golf and shit all the time.
I was
on the back nine today. I just had a rough day. Y'all have a good one.
Tom, what are you doing this week? I'm just about to put a book out called I Didn't Do It, But If I Did.
His existence.
But if I did it.
Let me tell you. He's insane. And then
have you seen the interview where he talks about that book and he's like, now, and he'll preface it, he'll go, now. I didn't do it, but if I did, here's what I would have done. And then he goes into exactly what he did and speaking on it. Like, and then I went around I would have gone around the back of the alley.
Yeah.
And he goes into it. And there's blood on him, his Bronco, at his home. Why is
everywhere.
Ron Goldman's blood at OJ's house?
He's like,
don't know.
We used to play one-on-one, man.
Did you
watch the like the six part?
I seen the series. FX series and the actual.
But the
I watched them both back to back.
The FX one is really good and entertaining. The ESPN one is like the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And I'm, as people that live through it, you're like, what else could I learn about this story?
Oh, so much.
And
more.
That's one of the best like documentaries I've ever seen, commenting on, you know, race, America, the culture, that particular crime, the story. And it takes you through every level. It leaves you with absolutely zero doubt about it. And then even gets to that one conversation, I think in the last episode, it was like a six-part series, remember? And the guy goes, you know, I was talking to him about it one day, and he was like, you know, I would like would come up on whatever, on Sunset, and he's OJ was like, no, I went down Bundy. Like, I went down Bundy and made a left on, and he goes, and he's just sitting there like, he was telling me, like he just snapped, like kind of pivoted and was like, you got to go around this way if you're going to come out of there. That's the way I did it. And the guy was like, you're just telling me that you killed them? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah. And then, remember the juror? She's like, because they said he was innocent.
Yeah.
And like, how y'all like that? And then at the end, that lady was like, I probably shouldn't have done that. You know, they thought he was going to be, you know, a pillar in the community. It was a chance for him to really be someone that could, like Magic Johnson has done so much for the community in Los Angeles, and so much. You got the Fridays and all the, you know, hiring people, giving back and working. None of that for OJ.
No.
None of that.
Then the story that I always laughed about was that, so he went to prison in Nevada for armed robbery, for robbing his own memorabilia.
Trophies.
Yeah, trophies.
He went to get his trophies back. Dude, I did a photo shoot with my trophies. Granted, they weren't Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't have one either.
Yeah.
You know,
Heisman.
Heismans and shit. But I just did a photo shoot with my trophies and threw them in the trash.
Dude, well, so when he was in prison for that, he served like 7 or 9 years or something. He would be up for parole. And he would go to his parole hearing with a board there. And it's very formal, you know, like, you know, stand up and state your full name, and then you have to report on how prison has been going for you there, and then they would say, you know, you're up for consideration for parole, and then they would go, have you ever been accused of a felony before? And knowing full well who he is, right? And he would have to be like, yes, and they would go, what was the for what was the crime you were charged with? And he would have to be like, double homicide.
And then
they would go, would you explain the circumstances of that charge? And he would have to walk them through that whole case at the parole hearing and be like, but I was found not guilty. And they'd be like, interesting. Okay, didn't you actually know about that?
Must have overlooked.
Yeah. And then they'd be like, you're not granted parole.
Can somebody check my files? Looks like I'm missing a sheet here. Double homicide.
Double homicide. Not guilty. Excuse me. Not guilty. Hey, Twitter world.
Hey, Twitter world. It's yours truly.
Yours truly.
The guy that killed two people got away with it. Doesn't he feel like he killed two people, got away with it? He's calling out people and shit.
Yeah, he said, damn, listen, Jeffrey Duke.
If I killed two people, got away with it, the last place I'm going to be is on Twitter.
You'd never see
you
me again.
You would never fucking hear from
That's
me
That's got to be the...
Again. Just, nobody would.
Just the narcissism, right? Because you're like, I need some type of... It's crazy. He has no check mark. I noticed that. Twitter's like,
We're not going to verify.
Verified
killer.
Verified killer.
Verified killer. There he is.
There he is. He's got almost 1 million followers. Hey, guys. Hello, Twitter world. Oh,
it's his
bio.
His
bio is, hello, Twitter world. It's yours truly.
You don't see it here.
I didn't say it. Just playing a little golf.
And I didn't kill anybody, but if I did, read this entire book on how I would have done that shit in detail.
Do you remember that he, the book, If I Did It, was like supposed to be, I don't know, I guess the Goldman family was able to
like stop
obtain the rights because of the civil ruling, right? Because he's liable for like $30 million. So then they got it, and what he wanted to put if this small on it, so like if is in the I.
Mm-hmm.
No, he wanted it big. Sorry, they made it small. The Goldman family
inside, the
so
I.
that it looks like it says I did it.
Confessions of the killer.
Look at that. And then he's like,
and at the bottom it says, with executive or exclusive commentary, he did it.
Yeah.
By the I never knew they did. Did you know they did
that? I didn't know they did that.
They
part.
Got exclusive commentary. No. He did it by the Goldman family.
Yeah.
Good for them. I always remember the line that resonated with me most in that that made me so sad for that man was he said, "My son is a footnote in this double murder." He is, because it was all about OJ and Nicole.
Yeah.
And he was just this afterthought, and that dude was brutally butchered.
Yeah. Just
it's not until that documentary I realized like just how bad it was.
Yeah. It was pretty horrible, man.
But you know, the glove didn't fit, so
you must have quit. Yeah.
How about that?
And he would go,
the hypertension medication.
He's pulling on the glove, he's like,
guys, look at the guys, come on, man.
Ow, it did that. This doesn't fit.
This ain't fitting. All right, I'm out.
Who has gloves that don't fit?
Yeah.
Like that's the defense.
That's the whole defense.
Imagine having a pair of gloves that don't fit.
You know what? Not guilty. We don't even need to go to the jury. That is a great question.
Yeah.
Who has gloves that don't fit? Holy shit. He's not guilty. Because I do. All my gloves fit.
All my gloves fit perfectly. I have custom gloves. Look at his face. When he puts them on, he makes a face. He goes, he's going to watch. He'll go, bites like his lower lip. He's like, man, this shit's so
come on,
tight.
Man. Over these rubber gloves. It's, come on, man. I wouldn't wear it.
Ow. All right. He's going, I'm trying to pull them on. He's like, am I supposed to put that one on?
As far as I can go here. Man.
Let's see. We'll try the other glove. Watch, he's gonna go. See, look at the grimacing.
Can't even get that in.
Shit,
man! It was easy to kill these two people than put these gloves on.
But these little kid gloves, I can't put my hands in these. What happened was my son had gloves.
Yeah,
he's 14, so I murdered him with his gloves on.
Killed him with my son's snow gloves.
He's like, I just, what you want me to do? I can't even catch a ball with these gloves on.
Look at the scene around him. There's a scene around it.
You remember when the verdict came?
Yeah.
It was like, I think it was like a seismic shift in the earth here. Crazy.
People cheering, people crying. And so
it must have been nuts to be here for that.
Yeah.
Right? Because what year? That was like 94 in the trial, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when he was arrested. Wasn't it June?
I know. I had just gone home for the summer. It was around that June.
Yeah, when was
he? He was on the 405 and 94.
Right.
And Al Cowling's?
Check if that was June.
Bronco. June 13th, right?
Yeah, because he was formally charged June 17th. I was at basketball camp at University of South Florida.
While OJ was Tampa. Killing people?
No, during the trial, and it was like you would go to the dorms, because it's summertime, and go play all day, and then go back to the dorms. And then we went for the morning, they were like, all right, OJ Simpson was arrested for murder. Now let's play some basketball. We were like, what the fuck? Like, everybody knew all him. Right. We were like,
lay up! Let's go, 2-9!
And they're like, don't let it be a distraction. We're like, what are you talking about?
It was a double murder. It's bad, but come on, man. Let's work on that fucking triangle offense.
Let's go. Free throws. Let's go. Let's go. Jesus Christ.
I was going to say, could you imagine getting stuck on that case?
Oh, no.
Because as a juror, have you ever been on jury duty?
I went to jury duty to see if I was going to be selected once here. You know who stood directly in front of me was Adam McKay.
Yeah.
The director and writer. Mm-hmm. And I remember he had a script with him and everything. And I talked to him for a moment and I was like, oh man, like he's like a real like activist type, I think.
Yeah, he is.
And so I was going to be like, how are you going to get out of this? But I was like, no, he wants to be a part of this. This is his civil duty. And I was like, I'm going to say racist shit. What about you? And he was like, what? But I remember that I really didn't want to get selected. And I lucked out. I went through the whole process. I didn't say anything about people's race. And then
that's good.
Yeah.
That's
and then they were like, you're officially, like, you have to be available all week. But every day you call this number, yeah, and then we'll tell you whether or not to come in. And so every morning you'd call at like 8 a.m., and then they would go, you are not needed today. And I just lucked out for the week. That was it. That was my only experience.
Well, you're lucky. See, I threw it in the trash for years, the notice, you mm-hmm. know? Because, well, I remember in high school.
I did it so many times.
I did a whole report on Al Capone, and I remember, I'm pretty sure it was him that said, I refuse to be judged by a jury of my peers, too stupid to get out of jury duty. And I was like, well, how the fuck do you get out of jury duty? And he's like, you just throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
There's no signature required. There's no nothing. So forever I threw it in the trash. And then one day I got this, a red envelope.
Like fire engine red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I better answer this one.
Yeah.
So I did. And I remember when I went down and I walked up to the window, it was this black lady behind the booth, and she went, got one of these, huh? And I just thought, I was like, yeah, what is that? She's like, you know what this is.
You've been throwing it in the trash.
I go, let me ask you something here. This is it's a summons. It's mm-hmm. which is a suggestion. You'd like me to come to court, but it's not a subpoena. A subpoena, I have to fucking be here, or there's a failure to appear. There's a lot of legal shit to go. But a summons is like, hey, we'd like you to if you can. And she's like, look, you're not wrong, but she goes, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Go ahead over there. And then I got on a 5-week case. I was on over a month long.
Oh, I remember
day.
This.
Yeah.
Wait, wasn't this a big drug case?
It was huge.
And they're like,
guns.
Ryan Sickler, who lives at you're like, hey.
Hey, man. They would make, I'll be Los Angeles. Where specifically? I'm like, why? Why do we have to be specifically that I live in Sherman Oaks at this address? And they're like, okay. And these guys would do the old mafia thing. They had the piece of paper and they would write, as you talked, they would look. They'd look you in the eye, like, and everybody was like,
"Wait, what happened?" I remember this vaguely.
A few things happened, yeah.
Because so, what was the case? The case was a major case.
It was major. It was over $1 million in drugs, over $1 million in cash, guns, everything hidden in washers and dryers. It all happened in the parking lot of a Jack in the Box with a minivan. It was fucking insane.
Straight out of a movie.
And it was, but they had wiretap. It was so open and closed.
You're like, is it DUI? Like, you don't know what you're getting into.
Nothing. And they had gone through, like you said, I've sat a full day of jury selection, maybe a day and a half. So by the time they had dismissed so many people, there were only so many of us left, and I knew I was getting picked. And I got picked. And then we were in there, and then everyone started talking to each other. The whole jury was talking to each other. You're not supposed to talk to anybody. We're all going to, 5 weeks, we're all going to lunch, going, talking about the case and shit. And then one guy goes in and is like, yeah, I was in the hallway telling this juror right here that we couldn't get the Wi-Fi. And then they made me come out singled out. And they started asking me questions in front of the whole courtroom.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to be in trouble for talking about the case or something. And I was like, nah, the guy was just asking me about Wi-Fi. And he was telling me that our information is public. So I was just curious, is that the case, Your Honor? Because every night we had to walk these ladies to their car. These dudes. And here's the other thing that's scary as fuck, too. These guys were smart. Courtrooms are open to the public. So they would have, I mean, they'd have 10 people sitting in there with the tats all down the face and shit, just staring at you, not looking ahead at the case.
At the jury.
Yes, the whole time. It was scary as fuck.
And then they would be like, Ryan Sickler, who lives at 227.
And not the defendants would write shit down. They would stare right in your eyes, like right like that.
Didn't you say, like, do I have to give my address? Right
I said, do we have to be specific? You didn't have to give your house number, but you had to say the specific. You couldn't say Los Angeles. It had to be where. Mm-hmm. And then I got called back again to jury duty. That's now off. They no longer put that.
Oh, really?
It's because it'll say, there's like things on the board. It'll say, answer those three questions, your name, whatever.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplish something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
and an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders,
balloonists,
bobsledders,
and big wave surfers, people who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app
or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
But this last time was the best. This was like my paranoid schizophrenic.
Wait, another?
Gary. This is another jury duty. This was like 2 years ago. It's maybe not even. It's a year and a half or so ago. And I get to go to Santa Monica. And I get called for jury duty. And you don't even, it wasn't even a selection. It was like, you're on this case. Like when I got mailed, I'd already known I was on this case. So the guy comes in. He's like, listen, I'm going to be straight with you. This is a homeless guy. If we can get a decision today by 4 o'clock, we are done for the week. It was Monday. And he goes, if not, we're going to be here till this thing's done. And this guy is a little off his rocker and he's representing himself. So we all start walking in the courtroom, and as we're walking in, the guy's standing there, and he keeps going, the sun, the moon, the truth. The sun. Have I told you this?
Mm-mm.
The moon, the truth. And I was like, that's some shit that's definitely going to be coming out here in a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? So he's
representing himself.
Which totally is representing always himself. Solid. Always yeah. solid advice. But ended up, what it was he was a homeless, I believe a vet, who was being kicked out of this building, this facility, because he was just too rowdy and they didn't want him anymore. But really what was going on was, it's this whole behind the scenes thing where they got to rotate bodies out of these places, and if they don't, they don't get the grants and they don't get everything. They got to keep taking care of people, so sooner or later they got to push some people out, and they pushed the problems one out. So these people were arguing that this man went crazy at a place where crazy people are supposed to go crazy. Like, yeah. No offense, but that's your job.
Right.
You signed up for this.
Right.
This man is doing what he does, like, at the place he's
I
supposed to
I told you
to
I was going
to
be crazy yes. when I got yeah. here. Yeah.
So they were thinking this was a simple case. But for us, we're like, well, wait a minute. This guy's, you're just going to shove him on the street and let him be crazy on the street? Like, yeah. He's where he's supposed to be. So he kept going, and everything the attorney would say, he would get up and he would try
object.
To repeat. Oh, he'd object. He'd be like, I object, Your Honor. And the judge was so patient. He's like, you can't do that here. Like, I'll let you know when you can do that. He's like, okay. And he would be like, what was the one he said? I moved to strike that, Your Honor. The judge just like, we're all over there laughing, you know, like we can't help it. We're dying.
Yeah.
And he starts asking each individual juror, because, you know, you can release some jurors.
Yeah.
And he would start, he'd be like, what's your name? You're like, Tom. He'd be like, Tom, have you ever had season tickets to the Lakers games? And you're like, huh? He would ask shit like that.
No, I haven't.
Have you ever been to a sporting event?
Yes.
Okay, he's had a barcode in his life. I want him out of here. He would do shit. I swear to God, like the scan code scared him. He would kick you out. But he was a Mason. And that was the thing. He knew, because the one guy was a Mason that he was questioning on the stand, because he cross-examined everybody from the mental house,
yeah.
the place. And the guy's like, I'm a Mason. He's like, oh, you're a Mason? And he knew everything about the Masons.
He did.
Yeah. Like those, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But he was like, what this and this and this. And the guy was answering all his questions. And I was like, damn, this guy knows a lot. And then he finally turns to the all of us and he goes, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, three things always come out. I go, here it is.
Here it is.
The sun, the moon, the truth.
That was his closing argument.
That was his closing argument. I was like, I knew it. I knew it was coming. I told the dude next to me, I go, that's just, we're going to hear about the sun, the moon, and truth later. And write it like we did. So we go back in and we all meet. Dude, the sun, the moon, and truth. So this is hilarious. And we all go in and we meet. And we're actually torn. Like, the crazy guy is going crazy where he's supposed to go. Like, we don't really want to find this guy guilty, but by the rules of the law, we have to say he did violate the law. So we had to say guilty. And one guy on
what was his violation of the law? Like, what did he do?
He was like, he attacked a couple people, like the employees in there, and he was just being loud and destructive. He would destroy. He never hurt anybody, but he would go after those guys. But they would come at him, you know, so he'd fight back. He'd kick holes in the wall, just tear the place apart.
Yeah.
So one guy on the jury was like, I'm just going to go not guilty. So at least one of us could, we have a clear conscience that none of us really wanted to do this. So we go in and it's 3:58. And they're telling us, if we don't get in there right now, we're coming back tomorrow. None of us want to come back tomorrow. So we go in. And, you know, we say unanimously he's guilty. And these people are, you know, celebrating and shit, but they had no idea how close it really was. So now this crazy guy is homeless today.
Damn.
Right? So I go outside. I get my paperwork all signed, and I go outside. And here he is on the ground, arrested, knees in his back, arms behind his back, and he's screaming. And I go up to the cop, and I go, what are you guys doing? This was the guy. I just walked out of his case. Like, this. He goes, yeah, man, he took his skateboard. The guy that ratted him out, he took his skateboard. He went over and he fucking trashed his car. Like, he just started beating it in the parking lot, busted the headlights out and everything. But guess what? He went to jail and had a place to sleep.
Oh, that's right.
The smartest dude.
Yeah.
He had a roof over his head. He had food. He's like, if you're going to make me homeless, I promise you'll be fine. And he fucked that dude's car up. It was all trashed in the parking lot. He had one of those long skateboards. He just started beating the guy's car. He knew it. He bashed
smashed
his headlight.
It to shit.
Yeah, he smashed the shit in the parking lot, and they tackled him and
arrested
him. Holy
shit.
Fresh out of fucking a guilty verdict. Like a second later.
Yeah. Oh my God.
The sun, the moon, the truth. Bro.
I threw a subpoena in the trash.
A subpoena?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Why?
Just didn't want to go.
Did they ever fucking find you?
No, because it was like from another state.
There's an open file somewhere out there on you. Do not say where the fuck that state is.
10 ways to get a note from a specialist. I postponed it like six times.
But you don't get out of it. You still got to do it.
Yeah.
You reschedule is really
tell them you're
it.
A full-time student. Cry hardship. Date someone in prison.
Really?
Scroll. Say, I don't believe in draconian drug laws. I don't trust policemen. I deal with these kinds of people all the time.
That one, actually, number 8 might be the one. I deal with these kind of people.
We
don't want this guy.
I remember being like, oh, I wonder how this is going to go. And the judge, when we were a huge pool at that thing, said, doesn't matter if you work, and it doesn't matter if you harbor prejudices against other people, you're still eligible to be a juror. And I was looking around like, there goes that guy.
I thought the same thing, and our judge said the same shit. He said, look, if you are racist toward Latinos, if you're, against the police, if you're whatever, that's fine. And he said, you know, and so the guy said, well, do we get out of jury duty? He said, no, you go back to the main floor, and they'll put you into a system and get you on a case where there isn't that.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You're always going to have police and the law.
Yeah.
But it will be a lady, a white lady that might have been shoplifting or something like that. You know what I mean? So you're not getting out of it.
No.
You just said a bunch of racist shit in a court of law.
And, yeah. Yeah.
And then
like,
they moved
and
you.
And then they're like, no, you're still good.
Yeah. No, we're going to keep you. We're going to keep you. Everybody knows about you now, though, but go down to floor one.
But, okay. Hey, we're sending a racist guy down to floor one. He's got a striped shirt on. He's coming down right now.
Racist as shit, sure. Everything's on record, too. That's it. It's typed. It's recorded. Nah, here's the shit you said back in January about Latinos right here.
You said the dirty spicks and the tacos. And you're like, all right. So you might, like, back in your day.
My day.
In the early Sickler days. I mean, you've definitely been with some hoes, right? Because we were talking...
I have been with some.
We were talking about how some of the hoes you've hooked up with, and like nasty as shit, right? You go like, oh, they're like moms now. Like, if you're looking back on like 15 years ago, your hookups, you know,
like that's somebody's mom now. Yeah,
you have some of my some of my favorite hookup stories, but I don't know if it's cool to say them on camera.
I'll decide after the show's over if we're cutting some shit out.
Can I bring them up?
It depends, sure.
Okay, so do you remember the one that you told me about? I remember you told me and Christina. Christina was like, oh my God.
Is this the one I talked about on YMH last time where the girl wanted to blow me while I took a shit?
No.
She's a mom. and a teacher.
Oh my God. Shit. Yeah, she just dropped that on you. Wait, while you were shitting?
No. No. She was literally on top of me, reverse cowgirl, and tried to stick a dry finger in my ass. We talked about
this.
And I was like, whoa, you have nails and you know, how about you spit on it? Anything. Just
warm it up a little bit.
Yeah, but maybe even a little look back, a little some kind of heads up that something's about to happen. Not just I saw an arm go up and I was like, what the fuck? And it just boom, and I was like, whoa, holy
hey man, no. Didn't you have one?
And then shortly after that,
she said
it might have been this. It might have been post coitus that we talked about that. Then
she was like, you know what turns me on?
She's like, you know what I'd really like to do? And I was like, what? You know, after that, what's next? He's gonna dry fucking finger my butthole. And she's like, I think I'd like to give you head while you go to the bathroom. And I was like, that's, you know, me. I'm like, that's impossible. I'm gonna be peeing. Like, what?
Yeah.
She's like, no. And I'm like, you mean you want to suck my dick while I take a shit? And she's like, mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, this relationship's over, bro. This ain't gonna work out. Yeah, this ain't gonna work out.
How is that enticing? I mean, look, I don't mean to kink shame her.
No, there is no kink shame at all. I mean, I'm as dirty as it gets when I want to be too, and freaky as it gets when I want to be too.
I thought you told me a girl that scared you, right? Didn't you say there was a girl?
It was a girl we talked about too that pressed her head on my head so hard that, and the first thing she said to me too, she was a waitress I met at the Grove. This was a long time ago. And then she wanted my number, so I gave her my number, and she hits me up a week later, and she comes over one night, and the first thing she does is takes this bong rip she hadn't smoked weed in a long time, she said, and she just rips this bong, and she rips it so hard that she starts coughing to the point where I'm now laughing, but she's pissed off because it's not funny to her,
right.
And she starts puking, right? She's throwing up from it. And I'm like, oh, this night's over already. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's over already. But she rallied and still wanted to have sex. And I was a guy. And I was like, well, brush your teeth and rinse your mouth out. And she did. And she got on top of me. And she pressed her. She was told me she was just coming off this medication she was on. And she was getting these zaps. She kept saying oh, there's another one. I was like, oh, what? She's like, I'm coming off of my... whatever it was, I don't know, feel good medicine.
Yeah.
And it was giving her these zaps throughout the evening. I was like, this chick. And she put her fucking head on my forehead. And the first thing she said, and she was pressing hard too. And she said, you fuck my pussy now, I'll let you fuck my ass later. I was like, oh my God. And I went to turn my head and I couldn't. And that's when she bared down. And I'm telling you, dude, she pressed so hard. I thought my skull was going to cave in. I didn't enjoy any of it. I was trying to tap out. I was like, I couldn't talk. I don't know if you've ever had your head pressed really hard right here, but it stunts your speech. I was like, and finally I took my head and I turned it as hard as I could. And I swear I got a mark here from how hard. I was like, what the fuck are you doing? She's like, I'm into that. I'm like, I could tell you're into it. You hoes got to give some people a heads up. That's all I want to say. There's no kink shame, hoes, but give somebody a heads up if you're in a finger and a dry finger in an asshole or just straight up headbutting people. It's aggressive, but I'm in if you can just tell me about it.
The two that I was actually remembering were different.
Great. Great.
One was, you're like, I met this girl. She's cool. This is the one I remember you told us this years ago.
This out here?
Yeah, Latina girl you're dating, and then you go, I wasn't expecting it, but she blew me on the street.
She did, on the street. That's the same one. Okay, here, I'll even lay into it a little more for you, too, because this is, you might remember, somebody come back to you, but I dropped her off at her car. And then she just was like, I was just being a gentleman. Like, she came over to hang out. We didn't even hook up in the house.
Right.
And I was like, let me, she parked a block or two away. And I was like, let me just drive you to your car. And I did. And when I pulled up, she just straight down on it.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, oh, this is a nice girl. I want to see her again.
Yeah.
And I did. And she's like, I want to eat your ass. And I was like.
Same girl? That's the same girl?
Same girl. You thought these were two different hookups?
Yeah.
What I'm about to say?
Yes.
And I was like, I don't know about that. Like, I don't know. Like, I had tacos and shit earlier today. Like, I don't know if you should be back there ass eating. Like, we just met.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. And she did, and I was like, you got to be careful. Like, you're just...
Yeah.
I was like, look, I'm telling you, I'm warning you now, you got to be careful. And I absolutely farted, and she said, and dug in harder, and I was like...
Straight up. And my friend Jackie knew her. And Jackie, after that, I told Jackie, I'm like, Jackie, listen to this shit. I told her, and Jackie would always look at me. She'd see me ram. She'd just go, all the time, dude. That was her hello to me.
Oh, she's a mom.
Yeah, that was that girl. She was a mom when that happened.
I remember you told me that. I was like, nuh-uh. And you're like, dude, I farted.
Dug it,
and
I did. Dug it harder. I was like, man, this is, I don't like where this is going.
Girls like your butt and your farts. And
I don't know about all of them, but those two sure as fuck.
Sure. I mean, blow you while you shit is wild.
That's just, it's too much. It's too much.
You gave it a go?
No, fuck no. You asked me, you want me to say yeah so bad. I probably should have for the story, but yeah. I don't know if I could get my dick hard while I'm shitting. I could be wrong. I don't know. We'll see. I'll try it at home by myself one time and see what happens.
Well, when we talked about this, about the fact that like we had hooked up with girls and we're like, they were so nasty, probably moms now. And then we put a call out to like super whore moms. And they went through like the emails, a bunch of them, and they said this one trumps all the other emails.
This is the top email.
They said this is the top email. It says, I am a retired super whore mom. I love sex. I was wild in my 20s. I had numerous one night stands or flings. I've had threesomes, two females, one male, two males and me more than once, and yes, with different guys. I have had foursomes, two males, three males and me. I've been to wife swapping parties and took part, fucked while people watched. I've been tied up to a St. Andrew's cross and played with by numerous people. I was blindfolded and guarded, so I agreed to limits were adhered to by a dungeon master. The same night I was fisted whilst giving a blowjob. Yeah.
With a T on the
Yeah. While giving a blowjob, and then in all caps, amazing. Then went home with the dungeon master and a fuck buddy and had the most amazing night ever. All this happens under the secret whore rules and BDSM swinging mantras of safe, sane, and consensual. Protection 100%. But since I became a mum...
Isn't that all sex? Safe, sane, and consensual?
I think so. I think when you're like all systems go like these people, though, it's like the big
mantra. I want to know what makes her say nah.
I know, right? Since I became a mum and a wife, the other play partners have drifted away as life gets real. Real life gets in the way, and I wouldn't change that for all the cocks in the world.
This is true.
I know, but my love of sex and cock hasn't changed. I still get what I need from the dungeon master I married. His cock is more than enough to make me feel like a whore in my early 40s. We women love sex as much as the next guy. Love the show. We often flash our chests at each other and yell secret time. Much love, D. Ireland.
Wow, D. Ireland.
Jeez. And that secret time is obviously a nod to Bert's.
Yeah, of course.
Special.
So, 100%.
Yeah. 100%. Lots of cocks in her life.
I don't know if I could. That's a lot to live up to.
I know.
You know, like.
Yeah, because you don't judge someone's past, really. But if they're, like, if you were dating her and you like her and she was like, I used to get fucked by, like, four guys in a night.
I'm out of here. Yeah. I don't care. If it's the one-on-one stuff, I don't care.
Yeah.
Any of it. I don't care. I'm into it, whatever you want.
You're driving. You're like, you've been there? She's like, I actually blew a guy while getting fisted.
It was amazing. I'm like, all
right. When? She was like, last year. God. Okay.
I don't know. I've never wanted to shove my whole arm up a chick either. Like, that doesn't turn me on.
No. Fisting, it doesn't, like...
I had to get a condom out of a girl one time, and that was just embarrassing and
really?
For both of us, yeah.
How far up did your hand go?
I had to go up there, man. I had to go... I'd say I probably got into here.
Wow.
Like, in here. It wasn't fisted, but I'd say I was here with... You know, I was going with my two longest fingers, which are these two here. I was trying to get it. I could feel it. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Was she, like, just...
Just covered her face the whole time.
Yeah. You're like a doctor.
I was like, do you think
point.
You could get it? Like, this She's is like, your pussy.
No.
You probably know of an angle or something that I don't know about or something.
I could get some chopsticks, maybe, yeah, get this motherfucker. It was up there.
Dude, man. I just had a flashback to another girl. The one that stayed that one time. Do you remember?
This is the one I thought you were going to bring up, because this is the one that got me in trouble, because I joked about her with Christina and she stole my email password. Yeah.
That was wild.
So I met her at that show we did. God, what was it called? Pepper Bellies?
That sounds right.
Right? And remember, it was like a club after the stand-up show. So the next night we got on, like, our feet were sticking to the floor like flypaper, because people spilling drinks. Right? Yeah.
Like, you guys want to clean this or no?
Just dropping it all over the floor.
Nah. You guys can walk.
And I met her there, and then she took a fucking Greyhound to come see me from, I don't
like
remember,
NorCal,
San Diego.
Right?
Maybe it was. It was a couple hours away. And stayed for like the night, and we didn't have sex. She did do some other things, but we didn't have sex. And then she left. And she was telling me a story about, she had just recently found out her dad had like a double life, like this whole other family in another area, which I've so seems to be popular now that I've been podcasting and talking about this shit, but he had a whole nother family. So I'm telling Christina in an email about it. And she was like, because I just started seeing somebody else, I think not long after that. And I said, well, this girl, at least this girl knows who her dad is and how many families he has.
Yeah.
And but then the girl who stayed and stole my email and told me that story chimed in. And I was like, how in the fuck? Oh, shit. So she saw what I wrote to Christina.
Wow.
Yeah. She had
what
been
I remember also is that you had told, this always stood out to me as like one of the weirdest red flags, but I've encountered it before.
What red flag?
When you go like, what's your dad do or something? And somebody goes like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. What do you mean? Like, do you know him? Yeah. What's he do?
I don't know.
Not really, my
he's
business.
He's gone all week at this what? Job and comes home on the weekends. Like, what?
Yeah, it's such a strange thing, right? Like, you go like, what does he do for a living? I'm not really sure. But you know your dad? And like, yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't know what he does?
Mm-mm. Does he work for the FBI or Secret
Service?
Yeah,
is it like a...
No, he's construction. Like, what?
Huh?
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had a lot of freaks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That are now moms,
yeah. Some of them were moms when I was with them.
Yeah.
And now they're moms if they're not. I mean, almost all of them, yeah.
Yeah. Good for you, man.
Have you had sex with anyone that's passed, that's died, that you know of? I have. I just recently, in the last couple of years, some girl I knew, I had back when I was in my 20s, died.
You had sex with her when she was dead?
Yeah, Tom. Yeah.
Oh, well, I was fucking her when she was old. She died during it, bro. Just in my defense.
Oh, no.
I mean? I'm getting older now. Somebody I was inside of is now perished.
How'd they die?
Cancer, I think it was cancer.
Damn. Mm-hmm. That is wild. It's going to start happening so much more now. Mm-hmm. Hearing about people getting sick and dying, it's just going to happen.
Yeah, because we're, you're in your 60s. So, hey, Jesus man. Christ.
I'm 36, man. Are you 46? 47. Birthday's in March.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bart turns 48 next week, I think.
He's older than me, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think Bart was.
Yeah.
He's 100% older.
He's 100% older. But looks good, takes care of himself, and that's just going to live forever. You know?
Now, what's the... Yeah, Kool-Aid and everything else. Yeah. I mean, he will defy all of it.
For sure.
He should be dead already. He's already defying everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. What's the nastiest, freakiest chick you've ever hooked up with?
I'm trying to think.
I mean, I know you had, like, unprotected sex with a girl, told you she had AIDS and all that stuff.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I mean...
Oh, shit.
She yelled at me for not coming inside her. You ever had that happen?
I've had girls get mad about it.
Yeah like, at the time I pulled out, so then she was like, what are you doing? And I was like, what? She's like, I wanted that inside. And you're like, oh, I was thinking about not wanting risk factor to raise.
I was respecting you, not wanting to
like,
saddle
no, idiot.
You with a child.
Yeah, so she made me go again to do that.
Damn. And you did that?
Yeah, and then again.
I would never.
No, I did. And then
never.
A few times, actually. I was like, how about the other holes? You want it in there too?
She's like, yeah, of course. Yeah. Like, why do you ask?
Yeah. She was pretty nasty. I think, I mean, definitely nobody ate my ass and then I farted in their mouth. And then
that's
they
how
went,
hard
mm.
she was pushing with her tongue and then yeah. just buried it in even harder. I was like, oh man, this is.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not kissing you after this.
I mean, I'm trying to think of the, well, I told you about the girls that told me later that they wanted to hook up with me as a threesome.
Mm.
Remember? And she was like, we were going to hook up with you that night. And I was like,
how'd you ruin it?
How did I ruin it? I ruined a few of these. I remember that I think they just, one of them had called me and I just, I don't know, probably didn't respond the way she wanted to or something.
God, I don't ever want to hear that.
I know. And then, so she goes, this is like months later. She goes, do you know that we like, we had planned our whole night to like have a threesome with you? And I was like, why are you telling me this? And she was like, isn't that crazy? Like, tell me. I was like, yeah, I'm 20. I don't know, man, three or something, 22. I'm pretty young, man. And I was like, what? I'm not even prepared for the information, honestly. She goes, you know what the craziest thing is? We ended up having a threesome that night with Woody Harrelson. And I was like,
he's hey. Married. He's married.
Maybe not that week. Yeah.
Woody yeah. Harrelson.
Yeah. They hooked up. I was like, cool. Thanks for letting me know, though.
Have I told you that Woody Harrelson story about smoking weed with him and the homeless guy? So this
you did?
Yeah. So when I first moved here, a roommate I had gotten that movie Ed TV. If you remember Ed TV, it was Matthew McConaughey being followed around. It was early days of reality TV, and he yeah. was being followed by a crew of cameramen, and Woody Harrelson played his brother. And my roommate was the cameraman in the movie. Yeah, this is it. And they were having rap parties at the end of it and stuff, and he knew I smoked weed, and he was like, yeah, it's 99. He goes, listen, we're at Barney's Beanery right now. Roll a couple joints and come over. Woody wants to smoke. And I was like, fuck yeah. And I drove that little Honda Civic with the original rims over the hill to Barney's Beanery. And then Woody comes out with just the two of us. He comes out to smoke with us. And we're standing out there and we're smoking, and this homeless guy walks up. I've never told you this. And he goes, Woody Harrelson, give me $20. And Woody starts laughing. He goes, all right, I'll tell you what. I'll give you $20 if you can name three movies I've been in. And he's like, okay, okay. And I'm like, oh, shit, I wonder if this dude's going to do it. He goes, and Woody's like, all right, go ahead. He goes, Money Train. He goes, that's one. He goes, White Men Can't Jump. He goes, that's two. And he goes, Cowboy Way. And Woody goes, how the fuck do you know Cowboy Way? He goes, slept underneath that billboard on Sunset. Oh, dude, I almost pissed myself. And Woody gave him $20 and he walked away.
He goes, how the fuck did you know that?
No one knows Cowboy Way. He's like, I slept underneath that billboard on Sunset. It got him $20.
20 bucks.
Billboard. There it is. There it is. Kiefer Sutherland and Woody Harrelson, the Cowboy Way. There it is.
Hilarious.
Nobody's seen that movie.
I saw Full Charge, and I saw what's his name in a fight on the street. Remember that?
What?
What is Radio? What's his name?
Oh, yeah, from Jerry Maguire. Yeah. Come on, man.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, yeah. We were walking to the cellar one night, and this dude was out on the street like breaking up fights.
Oh, breaking them up.
Yeah, yeah. So like this dude was like. Two guys were scrapping. He was walking down, I guess, what is that, Lower East Side? He's walking down the street. And you know when you start to see something like that, a scuffle two blocks away, you're like, oh, there's some shit going. You just keep walking. You're safe distance, just kind of observing it, and we keep walking closer. And then this dude's like, no, man. And then shoving. And the other guy's like really swinging, and breaking him up, pushing back. And as we get closer, we're like, that's Radio. That's Cuba Gooding
Radio
Jr.
Yeah. Over there, yeah. Get the fuck out of here, Radio.
Get out of here, Radio.
Fuck you, Radio.
And oh, he got in trouble, right? Didn't he get in some shit now? He's canceled or something? Those are new charges.
New charges. Here yeah. Go. OJ's going to be clowning him in a minute.
Oh, cool.
Come on, doing, Radio. Man?
Damn. What's this say? Has been filed. Groped a woman's breast. Actor has been indicted in connection with the second incident. did not elaborate.
Touched where he touched her other.
Oh, that's last year. That's from last year, man.
Going back to this shit, I had Kate Kennedy on the Honeydew recently.
Yeah.
Who you've had on YMH. Yeah. And she was telling me about her sexcapades in porn.
Oh, she's had some sexcapades.
She's been waterboarded for a porn scene. I go, for what? Waterboarded. Yeah. And she's like, I had a Hitachi on my pussy. And I'm like, and you came from that? She's like, so hard. And I was like, tied and hung upside down for 7 minutes. No one had been longer than I think 3.5, she said. She's like, I started as an assistant for this dominatrix couple or a BDSM couple.
Yeah.
And the woman, the wife was the camera woman. Mm-hmm. And the husband would dominate these girls and they would go out in the woods. And she's like, you know, we'd bury girls up to their neck and something. Like, what? Like, this is what people are getting. And she goes, and then the school bus would come home at 3:00. So from 3 to 3:30, we had to be quiet while kids were getting off the bus because we couldn't be screaming sexually in the woods. I was like, this is fucking these people, right?
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
This mom.
Now, right, she here had some stories. I remember she told us some wild stories. Because I think she said that her whole thing was she enjoyed it, like, you know, recreationally for a while.
Yeah,
and then she was like,
did it personally.
Teaching seminars.
Yeah, teaching. Yeah, teaching it.
And then stepped it up.
There's like a safe way to a choke. I had a guy on the Patreon show, the Honeydew with Y'all, tell me that he's recently divorced and he's out there dating now, and he went out on a date with this girl and she was like, choke me. And he's like, Ryan, I choked her. He goes, I am choking her so hard. I go, I know what you're gonna say. He's like, I thought she was gonna pass out. And she grabbed his hand and said, choke me like a man, you pussy. Choke me like a fucking man.
No, have you had that?
And then you hear it. Yeah, I've had that.
You've had that too?
Choking? Yeah.
But like, time. Choke, like, don't be a bitch.
Yeah.
Really choke me?
Like, where I really think I'm going to fucking crush your esophagus, and they're like, you're a fucking bitch.
I feel like it's weird to do it to someone I like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could see doing it to
someone you just like, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
Shit out of you.
You fucking bitch. And like, yeah, really, you know? That's
exciting. I had a girl that one time, this was in my 20s, wanted me to choke her out. And I was just scared because I was like, what if I kill you? You know, what if I accidentally kill you? It doesn't matter that you wanted this. My fingerprints are all over your fucking neck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you ain't going to be able to be like, no, I wanted this. I'm going to prison,
right,
for murder.
Can you write a note first or something?
Yeah. And there was no videos back then. So she kept telling me to do it, and then she did. She passed out a little bit from it. I fucking shook her, scared, and she came back like that, and I was like, bitch, you can hold your breath from now on. Like, I'm not going anywhere near your fucking.
That's how we're going to get around this loophole.
Yeah.
Hold your fucking breath.
I worked at this office in my 20s where the main guy had a really cute secretary, and this other dope that I worked with was hooking up with her. I was like, you're hooking up with her? That's crazy, man. He's like, yeah. And then like a week or two goes by and I was like, so how's it going? He was like, man, we were young, we're 21. He's like, I've never had somebody really want me to hit them like that. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, I mean, really wants me to hit her. And I go, like, what, like you're smacking her around? He goes, it wasn't enough. She wanted to get fucking decked, you know? So I go, well, how? He's like, I don't like it. He's like, but you know, she made me like really punch her. So, and then he goes, she's all bruised up, putting on like extra makeup, but she loves it. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. So, driving right to the police station, being like, look what this motherfucker did.
Look at all this shit. Yeah. So he said he was going to keep fucking her while she healed. And then,
yeah, you got to take care of her.
And
I mean,
then
you want to be a
then
gentleman.
He was going to be done. Yeah.
That happened to a friend of mine. He went to, he played baseball at University of Maryland, and there was a girl, a groupie, that just liked to fuck all the guys on the team, and it was his turn, and they were like, just be careful, man. She's a wild one. He's like, what do you mean? They're like, you'll see. She's a wild one. And he got with her, and that night, he said they were in his room, and it was pitch black dark, and she's like, I want you to punch me. And this is what she says to him. When my boyfriend fucks me, he beats me, and I love it. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. She's like, no, you're going to punch me in the fucking face. And he's like, I'm not. I'm definitely not going to punch you in the face. And she's like, you will. And he's like, I'm not. Like, I'm getting uncomfortable. Like, I really don't want to do that. He said,
I'm not like your boyfriend.
Yeah, I'm not like your boyfriend, the guy that you love. And he said, it's pitch black. And he said, out of nowhere, he just feels this fuck. He realized what it was later. She was on the bottom and she threw an uppercut underneath his. He said she connected on his chin. He said his teeth shat, like clapped together. He said he saw stars. He didn't know what the fuck was going on. And he said he turned her over. And he goes, and I just fucked her in the ass, and she loved it. Like, that was his, like, I'll punch you in the face back. But he said his he was bleeding, like, his lip and gums were bleeding.
Uppercut.
And he's like, what the fuck did you do? And she was laying on the bottom. She's like, you're going to punch me. And she just brought the fucking wood, bro, and clapped his teeth together. Imagine that. If you're naked, no. You're vulnerable, it's pitch black, and you trying to figure out what the
fuck
just
totally happened. Disoriented. That, by the way, that could end in a murder easily, like an OJ murder. You're like, I don't know what happened. I felt hit, and I snapped.
I'll never forget that. He punched her, and then she's like, you had anal sex with me last night, she said. He's like, you punched me in my fucking face. Like, look at my teeth and my mouth. Look at my lip. Look at me.
That's someone's mom. Like,
that's my boyfriend. Yeah, that's somebody's mom.
That's somebody's mom. Hey, mom. Oh my god.
Oh shit.
Oh my god. Yeah. My boyfriend doesn't do it like that when I give him
my
uppercuts.
Boyfriend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When I uppercut
fucks everybody on the team.
Jesus Christ, man. That's super intense.
I'm trying to think of I mean, I've had some wild strip club experiences. I showed up at
I went to strip club when I was 14 and then 15.
Good Lord. That's
and they
early.
Took me in the back.
Who the hell took you at 14?
The staff.
Who'd you know that would let you in at 14 or 15?
I just acted like I was older, and they were like, yeah, you seem like you're older.
You seem like you're older.
Yeah.
That's so young.
I know, and I was like, I'm thinking about throwing a party here, and they're like, well, come here. And they took me in the back, and like, it was the dressing room, so all the strippers were walking around. It's the unsexiest thing.
Yeah.
So I thought I was like, oh, this can be awesome. They're going to be like fingering each other and stuff, and they were just like smoking and like eating Doritos.
Complaining about their rent.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this sucks.
My landlord's an asshole.
Yeah.
I went to this party one time. A friend of mine was getting married. You met him. You met Eric.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say. He was having this party. And I was working at the time. I worked at the late shift at UPS. Shout out to UPS Baltimore Hub, Primary 1, Joe Avenue. And I didn't get off until like 2 or 2:30.
Uh-huh.
So they were doing a part one. A private little thing at the house. Then they were all going downtown to like the block and everything. And then they were coming back at 2 for round 2 of this thing. So I'm going to meet them for round 3. So I get to the place and everyone's catching me up. This is the dominatrix that had been here earlier. We went downtown. We called her to come back again. And so she does. She comes back.
And what time is this right now?
It's probably like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's fucking late, man.
It's late. Yeah. And she's there. And I walk into a performance that's already happening. That's crucial to what I'm about to see.
Yeah.
I walk into this woman by herself. There's no bodyguard. There's no nothing. This woman is by herself in a home. And, I mean, obviously we're all good dudes, but that's crazy to me. To think that you would go into strangers, 10 guys, you'd be easily overpowered, whatever. And she's on the floor and she's got her legs all spread and shit. And she's not attractive at all. And I'm helloing everybody when I go, what's going on? You know, this is how I'm like, this is what's fucking going on over here. And like, so they pull me aside, like, you should have seen this shit earlier. His dad put a strap on and fucked that girl in front of everybody, but in like his clothes, his dad fucked her in front of everybody. In his clothes. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, and this bitch is nasty and everything. I'm like, she looks nasty.
Hey, Dad. Come on, man.
Come on, Dad.
Come on.
And as we're talking.
Jesus.
Tom, as we're talking, I just look over and something starts coming out of her fucking pussy. And it looks like intestines. It looks like the lining. And I'm freaking out. Like, I'm like. What is, oh my God, what is that? Like, and what I didn't know, because I had walked in mid-performance,
yeah,
is that she had shoved a kielbasa up her pussy, and she's now, she just shot it out into somebody's face. Like, they would get on their hands and knees in front of her pussy right here, and then all of a sudden, this thing's hitting them in the face. But I'm thinking, it's like her pussy falling out because I didn't see her put the shit in, and it looks
you're
like
you're dying. You're dying right now. Yeah. Your uterus is falling
it
out.
It looks like the flesh color, you know, and I am losing my mind. Like, it turned me off, and it just turned me completely disgusted with the whole thing. And they're like, no, you idiot. That's a kielbasa.
You,
I'm like, oh, I'm the idiot.
Dumb shit.
I'm the idiot.
It's a fucking sausage.
It's a sausage up her pussy. You missed it. She did it like 2 minutes before you got
where
here.
Where were you, dummy?
So then she starts going around the party, and she's like, we're all sitting on like a couch or whatever. And she's just going around to each guy, and she's putting her, it's the ugliest pussy I've ever seen in my life. And she's just putting it all in everybody's face. And she gets up on me, and I go, you know what? You can pass. Just, this is fine. You know? And she's like, oh, what are you, gay? And I just start, I go, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm gay.
I'm gay.
I'm gay. Get that fucking shit over here.
100%.
100% gay. Yeah. Get that shit out. Keep that pussy moving.
Dude, I remember when I was 15, in the strip club, the first time when I was 14, I was in South America. But when I was 15 and I walked into that club with a group of guys, and they walked into the back, then like some of the strippers came over, and this old ass stripper, like, I mean, in retrospect, she's probably, you know, I don't know, maybe in her 40s, late 40s or something. But I'm like 15.
Yeah.
She squats over my face and she goes, lick it.
Oh.
And I was like,
nah.
Now it's probably good for her that a 15-year-old didn't lick her, right? I was like, nah.
I'll
she was like,
on.
Come on. And I was like, no. And she goes, why do we even fucking clean this thing? Right? And she pointed at her pussy, like, why do I even clean this thing? And I was like, I don't know.
Maybe just regular hygiene.
I don't want to lick it. I'm too young. I'm a sophomore in high school.
Lick it.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
And she's like right here squatting over me. And I was like, mm-mm.
I had a girl one time at Night Shift in Baltimore. So Night Shift was a fully nude strip club. So the way it worked in Baltimore was, well, like here, if they serve alcohol, it's topless only.
Right.
Fully nude is no alcohol.
No alcohol. Yeah, that is a California thing, too.
Yeah, it was there.
Florida doesn't fuck around.
Whatever the fuck they want to do. Yeah.
You can
Vegas,
bring
New Orleans.
Pills, booze, needles, and they're fully naked.
So what this joint did was they would charge you a $20 fee to get in, but you could bring your own beer. That was the loophole they figured out.
Mm-hmm.
So you could bring a case of beer for you and your buddies. They would keep it cold and serve you, and you tip the waitress.
A little workaround there.
Yeah, that's it. But you paid a cover charge to get in,
sure.
And that way they got their guaranteed money. And this chick comes up, and like, let's say it's you and I. We're sitting here side by side. I'm on the left, you're on the right. And she sits in front of us, facing us, and then she turns around. So now her legs are like this, and her back's right here in front of us, and her long hair is right here. And she rolls her legs over her head, and she hooks her left leg on my left shoulder and her right leg on your right shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just, my buddy and I, we both have baseball hats on. I don't know what's about to happen. And she claps our heads together like fucking coconuts. Dude, I saw stars. I was ringing, and then she just starts slamming her pussy into our faces, like violently beating us. And I'm still shell shocked from the fucking coconut thing. Yeah. I'm like, what's that? Bam, bam, hit me, bam. My hat's flying off, and shit. I'm like, you fucking bitch. I'm like, somebody like, get her off.
She's like, that's what I like. I fuck people up and they punch me back.
She fucking, and then I just look over at my friend because it was like a bam, 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 bam. And then she was done. She controlled all. Like, we had no say in what happened. It was just like being fucked up and then looking around. You know, you ever get knocked under the ocean by a wave so hard?
Yeah.
You come up, you don't know, like, what the fuck's going on. That's
where's up? Where's down? Is that a pussy in my face?
Is that a pussy? And I look at him and I go, dude, your face is wet and glistening. And he goes, yours too. And I was like, oh, God. And we went in the bathroom to scrub their face.
Scrub, of
and
course.
Left. I left. I was like, God.
Ugh.
Oh, so sick, dude. So sick.
Yeah, these girls, this was a strip club in Melbourne, Florida, which is not the primo area you want to go to for a strip club. You want to go down to South Florida. Tampa or something.
Yeah,
you
know? Tampa sounds.
Tampa's where it's at. Miami, I mean, and Lauderdale, they're like
just on the beach. You can...
I mean, they're those strip clubs stay open till like six. I mean, I guess 24 hours, but people are going in and out of them at 5 and 6 in the morning. You know, you'd go there and come out with the sunrise.
I had another one where my buddy was getting married, and we went to Vegas, and they had I don't do VIP rooms and shit like that. Like, I'll throw you a couple bucks, listen to you tell me about how you're a forensics major at UCLA, and then I'm out of there. You know, whatever. I haven't been to one in, God, it's been years. We should go to one. I haven't been one in years.
Yeah, it's
been
a long time. I've been to one with for a bachelor party like more than 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I go for this bachelor party, and he's like, we're VIP in it, we're doing it. I'm like, that's fine. You know, you're getting married, we'll go do, you know, it's like 10 of us or whatever. So, you know me, I get in there, and I see this just gorgeous black girl, and I'm like, this is the girl I want to hang with me back here all night. So, and she's super cool, smells so good, so soft. Little tiny black girl with, you know, just curves.
Do you remember the comedy lady that knew that you liked, you took on a road?
Oh, man. Oh, God, you should edit that in the doc. Please definitely cut that name, please. I remember her. But this girl had those big heels on.
Yeah.
You know, the long,
crazy glass ones or the see-through ones, mm-hmm. whatever. Yeah.
And she and I are just, you know, stripper hitting it off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're having a good time, laughing, talking, whatever, hanging out. And then she starts dancing for him. And I'm in a chair that's not that much different than this, and she gets up on it. Like, she puts her heels right here on the sides of the chair, and she has her, you know, pussies right in my face. Mm-hmm. And she slips. The heel slips off the thing, and it cuts. It gouges down my side. Okay, well, I'm in a VIP room that's pitch black dark. There's probably 20, 25 other men doing whatever they're doing. You can't really see. They're not far, but you can't really make it out. And I just go, ah! Like, I scream. I'm like, oh, my God! And this bouncer comes running in, and she's already like, I'm sorry. I'm like, oh, my God. And I am bleeding, like, through my shirt. I'm like, oh, my God! And I lift it up, and the guy's like, what happened? I'm like, her fucking, dang it. And they're like, what? Come, get out of here. You're disrupting everything. I'm like, And they refund me all my money. Like, she's super apologetic. They give me my cash, all of it. And they just hustle me out of there, and I am just bleeding through my shirt. Yes, just sliced it right down with those fucking heels, dude. Slipped off that chair.
I went to a bachelor party where it was the triple A ball. You know, it was
the triple A ball,
triple A or single A. Like, it was...
Oh, you're doing baseball rubber? Oh, okay. Yeah. Single A.
Yeah. It's single A.
And where they're still driving to the game.
I mean,
in
there's some dogs in this pound. and so we found the gnarliest one. And we were like, let's get her for the bachelor, you know? Because he was like... He had pointed out, like, look how gross she is. We're like, we just gave her
$400. $400.
She's coming hard. She's going to sit through this shit. And I... So when another one, I went to a bachelor party, which had like hotter girls. Whenever you go walk in with a group of guys, that's when the management's like, oh, there's some money here. You know, these guys are going to spend money. So the guy pulls me aside and he's like, you know, we'll set this up. You guys have this area and blah, blah, blah. I'm looking around and like, there's, it's hot girls. And he's like, yeah, you know, whoever, we'll send them over there. And I go, hey, what's up with that one girl? Does she have a cast on her arm? And he's like, I guess she does. And I go, what's the cast? I mean, she's dancing with a like big ass cast. Looked like she was in a car accident. He's like, we'll give you a discount. Those guys don't give a fuck.
They don't give a shit. It's just whatever. Yeah. It's a cast.
He's like, yeah, it's 20. It's 10 bucks. Just got a cast.
I had when I first moved into the neighborhood I lived in North Hollywood, like I've said before, the building next to me, the first night there, the police came over and just let us know there was a gang that would frequent the building. There was a body chalked on the street night I'm there. And I jog and all the Mexican dudes would tell me, you're the only white boy in the neighborhood and shit like that. And I was like, there was a strip club right at the end of my street. And I was like, a friend of mine, and I was like, you want to go there and check it out? And he's like, I do. I really do. I'm like, all right, we'll go. I still had a Maryland license, driver's license. And we go in and the bouncer's like, I'm not really supposed to take out of state. I was like, after I looked around, I was like, I'm good with that. I can leave. And he's like, nah, I'll let you in. So we go in and we sit down at the bar. And, you know, like, it's sort of like Cheetahs. It's got that long runway. You know those beaded curtains that throw open and they got a long runway and they can walk down and all this shit. This fucking chick throws the curtains open. Okay. And she's fat. She is a fat, chunky lady.
Mm-hmm.
And she is in the doorway with sitting on her butt, but she's holding her own legs by the ankles up here. Okay.
Okay.
And she walks the runway with like her that? Ass, using her legs like poles with her ass, comes all the way down like this. And everyone's like, yeah, they're going crazy. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? It's so gross. And they are eating it up. Eating it up. And she comes down, she gets right in front of me, and she smiles, her titties are all there and everything. And then she does a 360 like around me and smiles again. And I was like, I'm fucking out.
I'm out of here.
I gotta walk. I didn't even tip right.
Dude, I realized that the best
so
the
gross.
Best is your former, you know, colleague. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, look at this. I got something.
Like yeah.
That's from going to a strip club of sorts.
Well, it was a massage parlor. You probably should beep his name too.
Okay.
Just in case. Beep. But like he did.
They, yeah.
He went to a massage parlor, which was.
But didn't he go down south?
He went to like Torrance or something.
Oh,
like
I
that.
Thought he went to south of the border.
No, I took him south of the border. He would go wherever. I mean, I took him to a strip club down there, but he got it from a place here in Torrance where he went and a friend of mine took him and kept telling him, like, you wouldn't believe how beautiful the women are at these massage parlors and they're stunners. And if you saw them in a bar, you'd break your neck to look at them again. You'd be surprised how many women are working in the sex. I want to go. So every Sunday, this is back when Sopranos were on, he would come over and then my roommate would go get showered and I'm telling you, like, he was going like first day at school or job, like excited to be there. And then I would already have my buddy high and he'd be like, let's just go another time.
Yeah.
And he would get pissed. So this one particular time, same thing. He goes and gets showered. He's all excited. They're going to the massage parlor tonight. He's going to get laid.
Yeah.
And same thing. We smoke a little weed and then he flexed on the guy. He's like, you know, you do this every time you come over, you get me all excited to go. And then I go and he's like, all right, fuck it. We'll go. Do you want to go, Ryan? I'm like, I don't want any part of it. And we used to have DirecTV, so we would get the East Coast Sopranos feed. So we'd get it at 6, which is why he came over early. And I was like, I'll wait till 9. You guys go do the thing. I got shit I'll do. And they call me on the way back. They're coming back. He's like, it was great. The girls are so beautiful and just amazing and everything he said. I'm like, you had sex? He's like, I did. I'm like, did you wear a condom? Yup. Okay. And the next morning, it was a Monday because Sopranos were on Sundays. And we didn't have any work that day. That's probably why they went. And I'm sitting in the living room and he just throws his bedroom door open. He is sweaty. He is disheveled looking. He is clearly has a fever. Like, his doesn't look good. And he's like, hey, I think I got something. I'm like, what do you mean?
What do you mean? Like cold?
I don't think it usually happens.
You got a sinus infection?
Can I show you? I don't want to see your dick or anything. He's like, it's kind of not on my dick. I'm like, I don't know. I was like, I don't think it happens that fast. Like, this isn't even 24 hours, you know? Like, you sure you wore a condom? I definitely did. And then he pulls up like his shorts and he shows me the inside of like his, where his groin is. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it looks like chicken pox. It's like these red. I was like, dude, she had obviously an outbreak.
Yeah.
And not only you, every guy she fucked that day is going to get this now. Like,
oh man, I'm really disappointed in myself.
I go, well, you just bought general herpes.
Yeah.
It's not a good decision. You should be disappointed.
Then
in yourself.
He went that day, right?
I sent him to my doctor and he's like,
I got it. I got to take medication now for the rest of my life.
I'm like, yeah, that's what happens. Like, you went and you fucked a sex worker who wasn't clean and now you have that.
I guess I'm a sex tourist.
Do you remember that? He was so depressed.
He was so depressed. I remember his depression.
His depression was bad. And then one day he started taking, like, I don't know what it was, Zoloft or whatever.
Something.
I'll never forget the line. He had a couple suicide attempts during that time. Scares, I should say.
Yeah, scares, yeah.
He was very, very depressed for quite a while. It was wearing on me, and I'm sure you, with me telling you about it. And then I was like, you got to do something, bro. You got to go get on some kind of medication. Like, and I swear it was like 2 days later, he came home. He's like, you know, I go, oh, you went and got a haircut. He goes, yeah. You know, sometimes a good haircut makes you feel nice. I said, I don't know what fucking medicine you're on, but you should be the goddamn spokesperson for that shit, because it's been 2 days. You were going to kill yourself the other day. Now haircuts are making you feel wonderful. Like, you fucking keep staying on that shit.
The thing is, you got to stop and smell the roses.
That was the advice. He'd always give you advice you'd hear in common shit.
Yeah, like Hallmark cards.
The bird gets the worm.
You know, like, what? My mom just died, dude.
And the diet, he was just out of control.
He
made you
dinner.
Feel like you have.
I
your
gained
shit.
So much weight living with him.
Yeah, yeah, but you when there, you would see him, you'd be like, I got my shit under control.
I got my shit together.
Yeah,
like,
this guy
awesome.
Is out of his
I had
mind.
Fruit this week. You know, when yeah, you live with somebody like that, I had water yesterday.
2 liters of Pepsi Max.
A dinner was, we lived near the mall, so he'd walk over and get the 6-pack of Cinnabons. And I mean
ones.
The big ones.
Yeah.
And he would eat, if you picture him in a box, his top three or bottom three, he'd eat 1, 2, 3, 4, and he'd eat the middle out of 5. And he'd drink an entire 2 liter of Pepsi Max, and that was dinner. But
guess
then,
what? I got diabetes.
I can't believe I got diabetes.
And then he'd wake up in the morning, and for breakfast, he'd have the rest of 5 and all of 6 and start another Pepsi
Max.
Oh,
I spaced it out. You know what I mean?
Like, I got diabetes. I don't understand.
I'm like, you have an insulin pump that's attached to your body that administers insulin on a timely, in a timed-based manner,
yeah.
And you're eating like that? But I can because I have this. I'm like, no.
That's not how it works.
That's not how it works. Just
doctors definitely know. Like, you should go to Cinnabon.
Like now?
Yeah.
You can eat all the Cinnabon. Can you imagine the doctor telling a diabetic?
That's why the medical community developed this stuff.
This is strictly so you can eat Cinnabon.
How many grams of sugar? How many grams of sugar are in like a large Cinnabon?
You gotta shouldn't have one of those if
right.
You're a
one
diabetic.
Makes you feel sick, by yeah. The way. I mean, it smells amazing. They taste great.
That's why they make the minis.
So that's in a full size, right?
There is no way that's all it is, 17 grams.
It seems like it would be more than that.
It seems like it'd be 100. Yeah, do the large one.
Yeah, what does that say?
What, go back up real quick. 16 grams or about 4 teaspoons of sugar, it looks like. And
yeah.
It is only. That's
okay.
Smaller than I thought.
Yeah, but...
Well, they're better than I thought
oh, wait,
they
leave
were.
It
Let's
there.
Get three
leave
of
it
them.
There. So, if he would eat...
That's a lot less calories than I thought. Only 150 calories in a fucking large Cinnabon?
It seems
I think
like
they're
it's
lying
so much more.
I don't think that's... I think that's a cinnamon bun. I don't think that's Cinnabon.
Ah, that's right. He is right. You're putting cinnamon roll.
Go to Cinnabon. B-O-N-C-I-N. Yeah, there you go. You had it on your drop down there. Cinnabon, yeah, that classic roll, the classics.
Let me get a dozen classics,
man. Give me a
man.
Dozen of your classics.
Let me get
I'm gonna
a
tell that
dozen
story.
Classics.
This one time, Tom and I went to finish up a cup, man. We did a PSA, and there's the classic roll right there. 800, yeah, that looks more like
58 grams of sugar.
Oh, that's so much.
What's 58 times 6? 8 carried. What is that, like 350?
Yeah.
Yeah.
348, yeah. Yeah.
Wait, but what about calorically? It's 880 times. That's like almost five. It's over 5,000 calories. That's yeah. 3 days worth of food.
He's like, I just had it in 12 hours.
He's like, what? I got a pump on.
I got to work out later.
I'm gonna walk later.
Are you? You're gonna walk where?
Where are you walking?
Where are you,
you walking to Seattle later, man? Jesus Christ. He's, oh, wait, and then, wait, look up Pepsi Max nutritional info. Because that's got to be.
He's doing math in there.
Pepsi Max.
So it's one time we go shoot this PSA, and we were dressed like Harvell and Teddy.
Yeah, from the Cutman, so
in
which
the,
you can
in
see.
In the damn donut shop.
Yep.
And I meet Tom there, and he's coming to buy donuts for the family that's letting us shoot. It says no sugar to shoot this. And
that might be now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They might have
But go ahead.
And he just wanted a regular glazed donut, yeah. But you could not think of what they were called.
Couldn't think of the name.
And he looked at this girl and goes, "Give me a dozen of y'all classics." I still, anytime I see the word or hear it, I say classics. And I looked, that girl looked at me. She didn't even look at you. Yeah. She looked right at me like, what the fuck is he talking about? And we're dressed in character. I started laughing so hard. I'm like, I think you mean glazed, man. He's like, yeah, glazed.
I said, let me get a dozen classics.
Give me a dozen of y'all classics.
Get classics. She's like, the fuck is a classic?
Dozen of y'all classics.
Get a dozen of y'all
classics. That girl looked at me like, the fuck?
What's a classic donut?
What's a classic donut?
You know what I mean. The one you got the most of.
Right here. The classic.
All right. So the honeydew is, you're rocking and rolling. It's hilarious.
Thank you.
The highlights you post are so funny. I watch them all the time.
Thank you.
I watch them all the time.
That's all from you guys. I just do what Nadav and everybody here at YMH showed me how to do.
No, it's great. And you got the Patreon going.
Yeah, the
strong.
Honeydew with y'all. Subscribe to my YouTube. Watch the Honeydew every Tuesday. Full episodes there. Still chronicling Joey Diaz's life story.
Unreal. That's going to be like a HBO series.
When it's all done, I want to press it into like an album or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to have to be probably a 4 fucking sided album. It's
yeah,
Jesus.
Because it has like the whole life.
We're at 19, I think, 88. We've done like 8 episodes. We have 30 more years to go. I don't know if the podcast's going to last that long. and the Patreon is called The Honeydew with Y'all, where I do The Honeydew with Y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the website?
RyanSickler.com is everything. Go there for all of it. You can find all the social media, Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com.
It's always fun, man. Thanks.
Thank you, dude.
Thanks. Love you, man.
I love you, too.
Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call 2 Bears, 1 Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call 2 Bears, 1 Cave.